All right, everybody. So I've had a lot of people reach out to me, giving me a lot of support for signing the People in Tech podcast. And I want to really first say thank you for supporting me. But this Anchor platform has been amazing and been changing my life, getting me connected with some people in this industry that I never thought I would actually get to not only have conversations with, but learn from. And I know some of you who are tuning in are asking, Caleb, how did you start a podcast? You know, when I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other places people listen to? How do I make money from my podcast? Well, keep it simple. The answer to every one of these questions is Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free. And we ridiculously easy to use. My very first episode I did for my iPhone 6 Plus. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors too. So you can get paid to do your own podcast. Hop on the Anchor platform so we can collaborate and build this community up. You know, one thing I love most about Anchor is that they're constantly being innovative, you know, allowing podcasts to leverage music, get sponsorship, get paid, and ultimately be the best content creator you can be. So if you've always wanted to start your podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and a diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening? Damn.
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up, what up? Welcome back to the People in Tech podcast. I'm your host, Caleb King, episode 5. Side hustling, hustling, hustle, hustling, hustling. Boss. bringing it back today. Oh, man. Well, I'm excited for today's episode, guys. Because our guest in the Don't Quit Your Day Job studio today is just a great example of somebody who is always trying to learn, finding ways to work on his craft, and like most of us, he learns by doing. And if you're going to do something, you might as well get paid. And at the end of this episode, you will have a better understanding of how to find side projects, what to consider, and most importantly, how to get paid, because our guest has had success in this area. I'm talking about the man himself, Adam Birdsall. DJ, what up, man? How was your week, man? Yeah. You ain't got nothing to say? You nervous? All right, well, you know, forget it. Just, you know, do what you do. Switch it up because we got another guest and we got to do it right. All right, DJ, I like this beat. Hey, man, when we go get in the studio and work on my mixtape? Because you know I got them bars. You know, like my boy Alonzo Ball, you know, be shooting hoops during the day, but be doing mixtapes at night, man. You know, your boy got them bars and them lyrics. No? Nothing? Man, why are you laughing at me? Alright, man, whatever. I'm not even upset. We can just go do the podcast today. I'm not even upset. Adam, again, thank you for being in the studio today. But before we kick off today's interview, you know, we got one announcement for the first time, and we gotta do our shout-outs. So, first announcement, we are launching the People in Tech podcast site this weekend. You can find the site at peopleintech.us. Again, that is peopleintech, all one word, .us. And the point of the site is for those of you who don't have iPhones or Androids, or you don't have podcast apps on your phone, or you just want to listen to it while you're at work, you can go to the site and all episodes that you hear on your phone or through your friends or your spouse is playing or you're forcing your spouse to play on their phone, you can now listen to it on the site. And next announcement, we are expanding to more platforms.
So for those of you who don't know, we launched the podcast on Anchor. So again, shout out to the Anchor platform and the development team for putting up an awesome app. Makes it very easy to record. But we are expanding. So those of you who don't know, we are already on Anchor. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Google Podcasts. We are on Pocket Cast. But I'm trying to get us on Stitcher and Spotify next. And more platforms shortly. So those are the announcements. Now let's do our shout outs. Now, Adam, again, I got a long list. And I don't know if you've heard, but the People in Tech podcast, like, we got to support our day one listeners. So again, I got to go through this very, very long list. Caleb, you always say you have a long list, and it actually never is long. It's like two people. So what makes this one special? Well, you know what, you hater, and I appreciate all the haters listening. We actually do have a very long list of supporters and day one listeners. So let me go through it. Shout out to my man, Keith, for coming up to me and actually mentioning the tech fact of the week from last week, aka Red Panda. So shout out to Keith. Shout out to my man, Ben, for giving me some advice and guidance on what type of microphone that we should be entertaining to get for the People in Tech podcast. For those of you who don't know, we are still a Side Hustle production studio, and we are trying to get the equipment to deliver a better experience. Shout out to my man, Zoe's Truly Yours on Twitter, for not only liking, retweeting, and listening to the podcast, but just being an overall great supporter. Shout out to my man, Blake, for hitting me up and saying, what are you working on, man? Oh, I'm doing a podcast. I'll listen to that right now. Shout out to Blake for being a day one homie, day one listener. And shout out to my man, Kamal, for always supporting all my projects and always supporting everything I do. And those are the shout outs of the day. Now let's get into the interview. What's up, Adam? Thank you for joining us in the studio today, man. Happy to have you. And we keep it pretty simple here on the podcast. You know, we have a few questions. We can go off the questions. We can just go in a conversation, but we're just going to keep it laid back, keep it cool. But before we kick off, do you have anything to say to the people?
No. Thanks for having me. Let's rock and roll.
All right, let's do it. So, Adam, episode is Side Hustling. You are a person who's had several side projects, but can you just kind of elaborate to the people, you know, how you got into doing side projects?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The first side project, I guess I would call it, would be back in college. My brother came to me, had an idea, wanted an iOS app. I said, hell yeah, let's get into that. Didn't know what I was doing right away.
Okay.
So I had to go through and learn iOS completely by myself. And ordered books, had tutorials, went through the whole thing. And to be honest, the first version was absolute crap. But it quickly evolved. The people started downloading it like crazy, though, even though it was a crap app. I think I had like 10,000 here, like that.
Really?
So I was like, oh no, I got to keep going on this. So I kept going with it, made a little side money on the side. It was just the first one, remember? So now I think it's up over 35,000 downloads.
Nice.
And still counting. It's nuts. So that's how I got into it. And then I noticed, I was like, huh, this is fun to get into this. I need to start doing this more. So I kept continually looking, trying to find different opportunities through people I knew or through LinkedIn, career sites, anywhere that needed any help at all.
Okay. So pretty much just a recap then. Now, were you a developer before? Or were you just learning it at the time?
Yeah. I was going to school for computer science.
Okay.
Software engineering.
Okay, but I'm assuming, did they teach you iOS development back in college?
They did not. I didn't have any iOS classes until I did this project my sophomore year, and I didn't have any iOS or any mobile classes whatsoever until senior year when I had to take it as an elective.
Okay.
And it was just a small little elective they just started doing that year. So I didn't even have any opportunity to learn mobile app development or anything about it.
Okay, so completely new to you, something you've never done. So just kind of like help the people understand, because like for me, I'm a software developer, and like I would love to do some of the things you're doing. But I think what most people are intimidated by is like you said, I don't know anything about iOS development. So like, how do you break that down? Like you said, tutorials, is it books, is it like one or the other?
What I started out on, I mean, there's obviously a number of ways to do it. But I started out, I bought a book. It was iOS 7 at the time. I bought the basic essentials on iOS 7, and I just had to jump right into it. If I would have waited another month, I probably wouldn't even got into it.
Okay.
Because that's one of those things where if you don't do it right away, especially for book reading, then, because I actually didn't have any other resources at the time. I didn't know of any good tutorials. I didn't know of any good websites like Treehouse or anything like that.
Okay.
So the first thing I saw was a good book. And if you don't like reading books, you just got to get into it and push your way through. And I think I got through the whole thing in 2 months, but I just kept pushing and got to a point where I was comfortable, made a bunch of basic apps, knew what I was doing.
Right.
And then started making the side app.
Okay. So. Dude, that's really cool. So like you said, like a few thousand downloads now. So, you know, one of the things I've seen with side projects is like, I can come to you and be like, hey, I have this awesome idea mm-hmm. and I want it to be, it's like Facebook, but not Facebook. You know, like you are the developer. Like, how do you manage like those expectations? How do you understand what they're really asking for?
Yeah. One thing is where the business and software world are completely different is when somebody has an idea, they think it's just the easiest thing in the world to make. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, no one's thought of this. Let's get on this. And then they actually come to the developer and they don't give you any requirements. They just say, hey, this is the app I want. Do it. I'm like, what? So I have to go through and tell them I need this and this and this from you. And you really got to explain to them not to overstep the initial design. The first version you're going to put out, like I said with mine, it's going to be crap.
Right.
But you need a product. You need a base thing out there. Or else you're going to lose momentum and the product's going to die. If you try to go too big in one shot, you're just never going to get done.
Right.
You just need something out there. So you got to sit the business guy down or whoever's got an idea that's not familiar with coding and briefly explain to them that this is what's going to be the first thing. Then we'll move on to this. And then if that works, we'll add other features later.
So that's pretty much your way of managing
yes.
the expectations at that point.
Yes. I try to dumb it down and tell them, make it as simple as possible for me. What are the absolute necessities this app needs to have? And then we'll go into all the bonus stuff later.
So you pretty much lay out like what's known as your MVP or most yes. viable product
yeah.
for techies out there. So I guess another question at that is, you know, like if somebody would come to you and be like, I have this amazing idea. And let's say it's not amazing. Let's say something like, you're like, oh, dude, there's already something out there that does that. Like, how do you handle that?
That gets where it's tricky. That's because even if the tech guy knows, like, you don't really need to do this. I mean, in that case, if you're just contracting, you're getting paid, just do your job because you're probably not, you might not be in a position to say. Because I've been in both, actually. I've been in one where was one of my friends. He wanted to have an app made. And I said, okay, yeah, let's do it. But it didn't quite, like, there's already stuff out there for it. And I'm like, oh, I don't really know.
So there's competition. Kind of already established.
It's a very, very, very hard thing to get into.
Right.
And it's going to take a lot of work if you want to exceed. So that's kind of what I had said. I was like, this is, we can get something out there. But don't expect it to be a huge thing because it's going to take a lot of work. And he's doing fine without it, to be honest with you. I knew he was going to be fine without the app.
Right.
But it dumbed down, and that's another case where it kind of lost momentum. It died, but it's still a good idea.
Right.
I'll give him that. But then on the other side, where if you're contracting with something, and do something on the side where it's a different business needing you to make an app. As long if they are willing to pay you, you're not the one in charge, not calling the shots. Just do your work, do what they say, give them suggestions when they ask for it, but don't try to do it your own way or in a different way. Just get your requirements, do it that way, get paid, get out of there.
Right. No, I think that's totally valid, and I think that's good for our listener to hear. Because I think that's, like you said, you kind of covered two topics, right?
Yeah.
There's the idea, like, if I come to you, I'm like, dude, I want to make the next awesome Twitter app, or I'm going to make the next Bitcoin thing.
Yeah.
You kind of explain to me, like, yeah, you know what? That might not be ideal, mm-hmm. and here's why. But, you know, if I'm coming to you and, you know, I'm a huge company, and like, we're going to pay you $10,000 to do this, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, you can easily say, like, these are my suggestions. But yeah. if you're getting paid and they have made the decision to pay you that, it means they've made some decisions somewhere in their organization.
Yeah, you don't want to tell them they're completely wrong and then have you yourself not get paid as well.
Right.
So if they're offering, take it, and you know you can do it, first of all. But, yeah.
So that's another question. So you brought up a very good point. If you don't know how to do it, like, let's say you have zero, like, your first app is for your friend. But let's say, you know, big client comes to you and they're like, Adam, we need a major application that we heard you can do it all by yourself in 6 months and we'll pay you $25,000 for it. And you can't do it. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, that would be a really tough situation. I don't know if it is. Are you asking, you know, you can't do it right away, or halfway through you realize, oh crap, this is 3 months in, I don't know what I'm doing. Is that what you're asking?
So, maybe kind of go over both. Like,
okay.
Because, like, you have, like you said, you have both scenarios where it's like you might not know anything at first, right. but like it's a great deal. And, like, again, we're side hustlers, right? So you're trying to get paid. So,
yeah.
How would you go about that?
I would make sure I have the time allocated for it. That's another thing. You don't want to start something, and also, especially with side projects, you don't want to have too many side projects. You first find out if you have the time. If you know it's going to be a big one 6 months down the road, you might have time to learn what you're doing in the first 1 or 2 months and then be able to knock it out in the next 4. But if you know you can't do that, if you're too much time invested in other stuff, you can't do full time on this, you got to just be straight up and say, yeah, I don't think I'm your guy. Because, I mean, there's millions of other programmers out there that would be more than willing to do it. Right. So, although it would be a nice fat payday, it's better not to hurt your credibility rather than start something, not be able to finish it, and then you're scarred for any.
No, that's a very good point. I like that. And like you said, you have to, it's kind of like the short-term, long-term game, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, if you feel like you don't have the time, and, you know, this another follow-up question, mainly I want to ask before we go into halftime,
right.
but managing your time, like, because mm-hmm. for our listeners who don't know, like, you have your 9-to-5, like most of us, right. and the side projects are just bringing in the additional income. So when do you have time to do these things?
That's the biggest thing that I've ran into, actually, is because I get done with work 4 or 5 o'clock, and weekends I normally go out with friends. Always got to make time for that. Mm-hmm. And then you always got to try to find a day or somewhere, especially with the 9-to-5 thing. When you're doing a side project, you're probably only going to find maybe 1 to 2 free days a week to get this stuff knocked out. So I eventually had to, like, just say, I can't go out one night this week. I just got to sit at home, work for 12 hours,
right?
Knock something out. And it worked out fine, but I know if I could have been working full-time on a side project, I could have probably got it done in a few weeks. But right. it turned out being ended up being 3-4 months just because you only have so many hours in the day.
Right.
So,
and so, like you said, it's like Saturdays for the boys, but, I mean, occasionally.
You got to say no. Saturdays are for the side projects.
So, and this one more question before we go into halftime. Then, when just piggybacking off of what you just said, so if it was like when they come to you with side project ideas and they're like, "Hey, can you do this?" Like, do you explain to them like, "Look, I am doing something already," or it's like, "Hey, I got a full plate, won't be able to, like, you know, the timeline, the estimate type thing."
How's that handled? Yeah, I have. At one point, I think I was working on 3 different apps and my full-time job. And I had another friend, actually. She came to me with a school project she needed help on. And I told her, yes, I can do this. And I will do this.
Right.
But just be ready. It's kind of last on my plate right now.
Okay.
And it might not be as good as you hope just because I have a time crunch with other things. And completely understanding. I mean, I got it done. She got an A on the project. So
Hey, good for her.
Yeah, woo woo. But
we don't support cheating on the podcast.
It wasn't cheating. But yeah, it wasn't as good of a website as I was hoping to make.
Got it.
But it still got done, but with a little more time, it probably could have been a lot better.
Okay.
In my mind, critiquing myself. But.
Right. And, you know, I think that's fair. I think that's something we all do, right? Where it's like, you can't, like you said, it's like, look, I got all these things. Like, I don't want to call it multitasking because you're not multitasking. You're more like multi-projects, right? So just putting your time in the right spot. Yeah.
Especially when you know it's a really cool project and you want to make it really, really cool, but right. you can't find the time to actually do it. But, yeah.
All right, good stuff, man. So we're going to go into halftime. We're going to go into our sponsors. So stay tuned, guys. We'll be right back.
What's up, people? You know who this is. It's your girl, Sharon. That is Sharon spelled with an S. These girls out here trying to act like they don't know who I am. Oh, but little do they know. Sharon doesn't play that game. Anyways, welcome to the People in Tech Halftime Show. The site will be launching shortly. Remember, you can hear Caleb and I talk more about tech on the site. That is peopleintech.us. Caleb is still working on getting us sponsors. In the meantime, here is the tech fact of the week. Enjoy. You nerds.
Oh, well, thank you, Sharon. And for those of you who don't know, that is my girl, Sharon, spelled with an S. And please don't forget it, because she gets real upset. But the tech fact of the week. Did you know that Google, yes, Google, the same site we all go to and do our searching and asking questions. Did you know Google rents out goats from a company called California Grazing to help cut down the amount of weeds and bushes at Google headquarters? Renting goats. That's not a joke. That's for real. That's what they do. And that is how California Grazing is killing it this year. And that is the tech fact of the week.
Wait, are you serious, Caleb? Google rents out goats to have them eat the weeds. That campus must be huge. It has to be bigger than my ex. He was a Microsoft server back in the day. We had to break up because he could never shut down. I wonder how many goats they rent. I wonder what is the goat to weeds ratio. I guess when you are that big, you can hire any company to do the work you don't want to do. Oh my gosh. That is crazy. Caleb, where do you find this stuff? Great facts.
Well, thank you, Sharon. And I can't reveal my sources, but just know, people, we will have a tech fact for every episode moving forward. Now, back to the interview. Yes, sir! Welcome back from halftime. We got the man, Adam Birdsall, in the house, in the Don't Quit Your Day Job studios. And Adam, like, we got a few more questions for you, so just bear with us, man.
For sure.
But can you just kind of talk about some of the tools? Because earlier you were talking about, like, managing expectations and working with clients. But, like, what are some of the tools you use to stay successful?
Tools as in, like, technical.
Whether it's technical, organization, however you like to interpret it.
Okay. Some of the tools I use, I mean, my handy-dandy MacBook Pro always comes in clutch for me. That's for
sure. Team Apple, I love it.
Oh, yeah, big time. I mean, especially in that case, when it comes to, if you're doing iOS apps at all, any sort of app development, it's good to have a Mac on you. And then I always try to keep everything organized as much as possible, because check in everything on GitHub whenever you get a chance. I use GitHub, but you can use whatever you want, I guess.
Okay.
Other tools?
You know, like, do you use a calendar, or, like, are you on Slack with these people talking to them?
Yeah, so I'm constantly on Slack and using email going back and forth, because you always have to stay in touch with whatever's going on, because more than likely you're going to be either with partners working on the project, or you're going to have to talk to whoever you're working for. So keeping up to date on the emails, text messages, I don't really call people too often, but
it's 2018.
Yeah, you don't need to call. But yeah, Slack works a lot. I use Google Hangouts a lot.
Okay.
That's one of the bigger ones I use. But yeah, just any way of communication, staying on touch and keeping your code organized, I keep notes of what I do as well. Especially like if I can't fit it all in one commit, I take notes of why I did this or why I changed that and kind of keep that in a separate document.
So a follow-up question for you, because you pointed it out, which I don't think a lot of our listeners even consider. So it sounds like you've done some side projects where it was 100% you on your own. You got the requirements. You did the thing. Mm-hmm. You've had side projects where they're like, we're bringing you in and you need to work with another developer and work with, you know, kind of like pair programming, but maybe you're not in the same spot.
Yeah, actually. Recently, actually. I lived 40 minutes away or something. I had to go up there for meetings constantly. It was a weekly meeting. I had to go up, talk to, it wasn't a developer, but it was another engineer. And working on a different product for the same company.
Okay.
And I had to constantly touch base to get my product working with his end and everything. So I had to be going up there, and it kind of sucked because I had to go up to North Phoenix. He couldn't come down because all the technology that we were testing on was at his place.
Okay. So the reason you guys weren't doing it via Hangouts or Slack call or any of that, or GoToMeeting, was it seemed like there was some hardware.
There was hardware involved, and the testing had to be done on that specific hardware, and it was all set up at his place, so I had to make the drive every time, which kind of sucked, but we got through it. So.
Okay. And was that something like, now, like, so some of my other colleagues, when they've done side projects, like, they would negotiate, like, up front, like, look, if I'm commuting, you're paying me for the gas, or, you know, if I'm doing program X, then I need device Y. Like, do you ever have those conversations, like, when you first get a side project?
Yeah, I guess not so much the commute. Never really talked about that. But I did mention I do need some sort of hardware that I can test on, even if it's a little bit. So then I was given basically a demo, a very rough version of the hardware that I was able to do a little bit of testing on, but even then it wasn't perfect. I had to constantly go back and get everything updated because he was working on his end of the kind of, I'll call it machine, I don't know, some sort of code he was working on.
Okay.
That went into these hardware devices, and I was doing the iOS app version of it to communicate with it. So he was updating his, I had to get my devices updated constantly, so I always had to go back and forth. And yeah, we texted, email, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess another question I have for you then, because you kind of talked about, like, I mean, commuting's not a huge deal.
No.
But there is a little friction with that, right? Not like the perfect world.
It's a pain because, especially at the time, because you didn't want to get there too late. I mean, I get off work at 4. I had to leave work probably on those days at 3 or 3:30 and drive what would normally take maybe a half hour. But with the traffic and everything coming up there, getting there would be about 40 to 45 minutes. And then I would leave a little after 5:30, which, if you know, is right in the middle of rush hour coming south from
right.
North Phoenix.
Right.
So it would take me 2 hours to get home. And it's like, oh, it's just a complete pain.
Right. It's like you're already spending your extra time working on your piece.
Exactly.
Now you're commuting 2 hours. Like, it's just like added
especially
time.
When I want to get back and start working. Like, if the thing is fresh in my mind, I want to get back, start working on it immediately. No, I got to wait 2 hours and let everything simmer. And then.
Right.
Yeah, that was kind of a pain.
So can you help the people understand what are some challenges with side projects? Because, you know, you kind of talked a little bit about it. Like, you know, commuting is one of it. Communication, making sure that you manage expectations. But, like, what's just the one thing where you're like, God, that sucked. And that was difficult. And, man, I hope I don't have to go through that again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the three things that are really challenges to me that just all go together in all side projects is time, organization, and skill sets are the three ones that you need to have in order to get one done. Time was by far the hardest for me.
Right.
And I guess I touched on that earlier, but so yeah, that was the most difficult to try to find the time. I stayed fairly organized through the, through most of them. But yeah, some of them, like I said before, there's been multiple projects where I have to learn something new. And then I have to spend the first month trying to learn something new. And that takes a ton of time out of the way. So now you're cut. You cut your time by a month.
Right.
And you still got to try to find the time during the week to get it done after you learn your skill set. So
and still go out on
Saturdays. And still go out on Saturdays. Because we all know Saturdays are 44. Oh, man. Thank God football season's over now, though. So I got Sundays to work on.
There you go. More time, right?
So, yeah, another day of time. So.
Okay. So those are some of the challenges. For our listeners today, you know, what advice would you give? Anyway, you kind of spoke on it a little bit, but like, let's say somebody who's listening right now, they got some skill, whether it's development or maybe something different, mm-hmm. but like, what advice would you give them about doing side projects?
Good advice is it's really, really easy when you know how to do something. Like, I know how to code. My friends know I know how to code. My family knows I know how to code, and none of them know how to do it. So it's really easy for them to come to you and say, hey, I have an idea, make this. And it's really easy for you to say, oh yeah, for sure, because nobody wants to be told no.
Right.
So best advice is think it thoroughly and know what you're getting yourself into before agreeing to do something.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at everything. Look at how the end is going to be. Like, what's the final product going to be? What's the final product going to have in it to get done to where they want to be? Where are they going to take it from there? You don't want to be working on a project that they're inevitably going to just end.
Right.
it's just a waste of time. So, yeah, the best advice is just don't be so quick to say yes to a side project. Do your research.
Okay. And then I guess this one thing for you, since, you know, thank you again for being a guest on the pod. So, you know, like you said, you're a developer, you code, you know, where could people find you? Cause some of our listeners are like, I got a project for him right now. You know, I heard Caleb's episode. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Like where could people find you?
Yeah. Go on LinkedIn, Adam Birdsall. I don't know what my username is on there actually, but there's only like four of them on there. So just find Adam Birdsall and go from there.
This is a good looking Adam Birdsall. Got it.
the one with the Vikings picture in the background on his profile.
Got it.
That's a good one. Go to. So.
Anything on Twitter or anything like that?
Oh, at Adam Birdsall 4 Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go on my Instagram too if you want. I post some funny stuff every now and then.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, yeah, that pretty much wraps up the interview for today. Again, Adam, thank you for being on a pod. Thank you for coming into the Don't Quit Your Day Job Studios.
Thanks for having me.
You're a perfect example of somebody who hasn't quit their day job, but you're still side hustling, getting paid, getting money, and I hope everybody who's listening into today's episode, you can walk away now. You have a better understanding of how to go about a side project, what to consider, challenges, the fun parts, you know, everything in between. But, hey, man, thanks for being on the podcast today. Hopefully we do another episode in the future.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Yep.